Well, I appreciate your attention, your prayers this afternoon. As always, afternoon service is a time we can all get real drowsy. So I'd appreciate it if we could all stay awake and alert. And I have a thought on my mind that probably is foundational in more ways than one. So I'm going to write a word up here. Concrete. We make foundations out of that, don't we? I've been thinking about, I don't know, maybe you don't know, but sometimes the Lord drops something in my mind, and it's like all week my head's been going around and around about concrete. So I want to try to get this out so it'll make a little sense to you, and it'll hopefully be an inspiration and a challenge to us. There's a lot of things that has been done with concrete in our modern world. I didn't do the research, but I know that we have some monuments and things that were originally built without concrete, and they went in and shored up the foundations with concrete. Since concrete is, as we know it, is not as old as our nation is. I think there were forms of concrete maybe many decades or many centuries before, but what we know as concrete today is not always been available to us. The thing we like to use concrete for is because it seems to be almost a permanent element in construction. And concrete is something that is relatively easy to maneuver. I say relative because it's heavy, but it's not like moving in a really, really large piece of granite. We can pour it in a truckload at a time, and we can put it where we want it. We can pump it. That's something that in my lifetime, pumping concrete has really become a common thing. Used to pumping the concrete up to an upper floor. That just didn't happen very often, but it's pretty common today. There's things that we can add to the concrete to make it perform. We can put fiberglass in it, and there's instances you can put fiberglass fibers in concrete and not have to put rebar in it. And there's times that the rebar is tensioned, sometimes before, sometimes after the concrete is poured. We have concrete beams just on the way to service. They're rebuilding a bridge. They've tore it completely out. It's an overpass over the highway between here and the house. And they're hauled in these big, long concrete. It'd be like a timber if it was wood. So it's a concrete beam to support that bridge that they're going to put on top of it. I'm sure that inside that concrete, there's some steel in there. I don't know what all is in there, but it's not just concrete. But the concrete is the thing I can see on the outside. When concrete is initially prepared or delivered, we like to order concrete from a ready-mix plant. And what I know about concrete is not very much, but I know when we order concrete from a ready-mix plant, it's very pliable when it gets there. And if we want it to be soupier, we can add more water to it so it'll really run out of that truck. And it's very pliable. But I was thinking about this, and I didn't call any of the folks down there by Prague or Shawnee to ask them, but I wonder if they've ever showed up with a cement truck full of cement and asked, where do you want this? And they said, well, just over there, we're going to pour a pad, and they not have a form set up. I wonder if that's ever happened. Would you think? I mean, everybody that pours concrete knows you're going to have something to contain it, right? You're going to pour it in a cavity. You're going to have some boards set up for the perimeter. You're going to pour the concrete while it's still in the liquid plastic stage. Had a couple experiences this year in my limited experience with concrete. Early in the year, while it was still pretty cool of a night and not so warm during the day, and we was getting quite a bit of rain, I needed to pour a pad to set a heavy piece of machinery on. So I thought I could catch the window of time where I could get it poured before it rained again. So we poured the concrete about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when they could get to it. And it was the warmest part of the day, and we got it in there. Our forms held. We had the forms built. The footings all dug out. It was a monolithic pour. We just poured it all at one time. We had it all ready, and we poured it in there, and I worked with that stuff, and I gave it time to rest, to start to set up, and I worked. I finally left about 10 o'clock, and I couldn't get on it then. It was still too soupy for me to get on it. I went home, and the next morning, I went over there, and a rabbit had run across my pad. And these rabbit tracks, you know, were about 3/4 of an inch deep in my fresh concrete. And I thought, now I wished I'd stayed. Maybe I'd have kept the rabbit away. But I got it. It set all night, folks. It'd been poured about 3 o'clock, and I got out there with a little hand float. And I was able to work that concrete and get the rabbit tracks filled in. I've never done that. That's the first time in my life that I've ever done that. Stuff really took a long time to. It was the temperature. I think it got down to maybe 40 degrees that night. It was cool. It was pretty wet when it went in, and it took a long time. It's really hard now, but it took a long time to set up. And then not so long ago, we decided to pour a little piece of concrete out here for a sidewalk and a little pad back here behind the chapel. And here again, we poured about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that wasn't really good, especially two different places. We got that run out and barely scraped it off. And then we started to try to use a float on it, and it got away from us. We didn't get it finished. It got hard on us before we could get it floated out and broomed off like we wanted. It set up quick. So there's different cure times that we have to do. And there's things that can be done. I'm not the expert. Don't ask me for advice on how to extend it or compress it. But there is things that can be done to change the cure time of that concrete. So I don't believe any of us would think that it'd be wise to order concrete without having a form set up and being aware of all these different factors I'm talking about. Now, would you believe that I want to talk about something a little bit more spiritual than concrete? Well, I do. If that's not surprising to you, I want to talk about something else. I'd like for us to turn to the Psalms 127. And it says in verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Except the Lord build the house. If the Lord don't give us the understanding, the capability, if we are unwilling to learn, as we heard this morning, Not that the message was about us being unwilling. It was talked about learning this morning. And if we are willing to learn, the Lord wants to help build our house. He wants to help us build something that will stand the test of time. He wants our house to be built like it was built on a rock. And He wants us to be prepared to pour concrete. Let's read some more. It says, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. The Lord will give us rest, and the Lord will be there to help us in our times of distress, in our times of need, in our times of not knowing what to do. I the concrete that set up so slow for me, it was like, I'm tired of waiting on this stuff. I've been here for 7 hours waiting for it to get firm enough that I can put a broom on. I'm ready to go to the house. And I did. And that's when the rabbits came out. And then when we poured this over here, I couldn't be at two places at one time. And we were scurrying around and I was not, it's okay. It'll do this purpose of concrete, but I would have liked for it to have been a little nicer. I would have liked for it to turn out. It'll work. It'll be fine. I don't have no desire to tear it up and do it again, but it just set up too quick. The Lord will help us in our times of distress. But now, notice this next verse. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." We got some young families here today, and I'd just like to say that children is your concrete. Children is the thing that you have been given to shape, to put a form up for. And when they're given to you, they're like that concrete that's coming out of the truck. Looks like, I don't know, vegetable stew sometime, except it's all the same color. And as it's coming down the chute, you get those rocky chunks and all of those things. And you can come out of there so fast it can actually damage your form board sometimes. And sometimes when children come into your home, it's like you can feel overwhelmed sometimes. It'd be foolish to bring children, and I want to compliment the families here today. You've not been reckless in bringing children into this world. There are so many people out in this world that bring children into the world recklessly, without any form boards, if you will. They don't have any intention. Children show up in their lives, and it's like, now I wonder what we're supposed to do with it. But I want you to know that when you start off on the right step and you bring children into this home, into the home where the mother and the father love one another, and you got some boundaries there. You got a form board set up. You start running that concrete in that form, and you don't just let the concrete pile up. There's a level that you want it to be. And you strike off the excess. And then you begin to, maybe you begin to tap the form boards, maybe you begin to float it, maybe you begin to shape the edge or something. But there is all kinds of work. Concrete's a lot of work. Children are a lot of work. And they're just like concrete. When you get done, the scripture says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Do you know, if you don't train it up in the way he should go, if you train a child up in the way that he should not go, he's not going to depart from that very easily either. I lived across the street from a man that had two boys. I can't remember if they were twins or not, but they were really close in age if they weren't twins. And they were about the same age as our oldest son. And we moved away, and they still lived in the neighborhood. And later on, I went over and happened to come in contact with him after our children were old enough to have graduated from high school. And I got to visiting with him a little bit, and I said, well, how's your boys? How are they doing? And he looked at me, and he said, they're as mean as snakes. And I thought, poor boys. I would hate to have to say that about my son. I want to run him into a form and do a little shaping and a little prodding and a tapping. I want to do something so that when he is set in his character, it'll be something that I can say, he's a fine, upstanding young man. He's a contributing member of society. That's what I want to be able to say about my children. And that's what I want to be able to say about the children here this morning. You know, it almost seems unrealistic, but somewhere between 15 and 20 years from now, there's going to be adults. And I want to be able to say about them, they are outstanding citizens. They're pillars in the church. They have a reputation that you can hang your hat on. And why? How do you get them there? Because now they're in a place of more like concrete. They don't, you know, as the old saying is, you don't teach an old dog new tricks very well. We can. Us old dogs can learn some new tricks once in a while. But it's not as easily. I struggle with so many things on the computer. I learn something just every once in a while. Y'all probably think this is silly, but I found out that I can hit Control F and a little thing will come up where I can type in something I want to search. That's amazing to me. And y'all thought, you younger generation probably think, well, Brother Dan, we've known that all of our life. Well, I didn't know. I know what Control A does, Control F does, Control C, and Control V. Now, that's about the extent of my knowledge. But I want to tell you, those are little tricks that I've learned. And some of y'all learned that. You just absorbed that because that was your age bracket. Yes. But that's the form that you was in. That's not the form that I was poured into. I was poured into the form with the phone that was over on the wall that you pulled around and then it went click, 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 click back that way. That's the age. That's the form board I was put in. But we want to form our character of our children to where when they are cured, when they leave the house, when they leave the nest, there'll be something that'll have some stability in them. And you can look on it and say, that person has got something that'll keep them. They're in connection with the Lord. Loathed children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The form. It must be strong enough. You ever seen someone that made a form that wasn't strong enough? I have. You ever been there when the form wasn't strong enough? There's never enough wheelbars and shovels, I'm telling you. And you'll hurt yourself trying to put that concrete back in there when the form is not strong enough. What is a form board? It's a boundary. We must have the correct reinforcements. Sometimes it's not the form, it's the reinforcements around the side. Sometimes it's the legwork that you did. It's those little tidbits of information, of pulling the dirt up to the form, of driving the stake just so, of knowing how to nail the board onto the form, and it's just knowing how to do all of that. You know, raising children, make your form boards, and then let that child fill it up to the top. Tell them that's good, that's as far, that's as high as we're going to pour it today. We're not going to run it over. And we're not going to jump on our form board. We're not going to move it because it's you. And just because you're special and you are special, we're not going to make a change because it's you. This is what, the reason that I have this form board set is because this is how I want you to turn out. You understand what I'm saying? The form and the footing must be deep enough. There's a house down the road from me that has been built since I've lived down that road. And I have this curiosity. I'd like to go in that house because they cleared off a piece of land and they didn't really move much topsoil, what I remember, because I was driving by it every day going to work at the time. They hauled in some rock, and then they kind of dug a footing in the rock, and they poured this slab. I don't think that any of the concrete goes below the frost line. I don't think it hardly goes below the soil that's out there in the yard. And this house is kind of floating out there on a slab. And in my head, I think, I don't know what it looks like. I think it probably needs Brother Mark to come over and fix some cracks in the sheetrock. I'm thinking that, you know, it's got some floors that's got some bumps in it somewheres in the house. Because they didn't do it right. All right, that's my opinion, okay? Maybe it's better than I think for, but, you know, if we're going to pour some concrete, if we're going to have children, and I'm going to say it again, you young couples that's here, you're doing it right. You didn't get the children before the marriage vows, and you were looking forward to them when they got here. It wasn't a surprise thing. I'm glad that you did it the right way. Make sure your footing's deep. Make sure you're pouring them into a form that they'll be able to be rooted and grounded in truth of the Scripture, but rooted and grounded in everyday functional abilities, being able to get along with other people and be able to share ideas without feeling attacked or attacking other people, to be have a balanced character about them. Make sure the form's deep enough, strong enough. Put the reinforcements in there. Parents, be on the same page. You know, don't let the children come between mama and daddy. If mama says you can't go outside, then daddy shouldn't say, well, maybe today. You got to say the same thing. You got to be united. You got to have the same objective. I expect the children to, whatever it is. You know, I know my wife didn't always understand why I wanted my boys to get up on Saturday morning, but I just thought that was important. So I got them up on Saturday morning, and she didn't buck me very much. There were a few times she said you ought to let them sleep in, but you know, Saturday morning was a time we had all the boys and me there at the same time. Think about what we could get done, especially after they got big enough to help. So it's a good thing to get up in the morning and let's get going. Life has so much opportunity, but let's be on the same page. And if you're not on the same page today, you know, your concrete's not set up yet. Your children hadn't left home yet. And if you're not on the same page, find some time where you can get on the same page. Where are we headed? What do we want this to look like when we're done? When you get done, do you want the little cavities in the side when you peel the form boards off? None of us like that. We want it to be smooth, don't we? There's things that you do to keep those air pockets out and bounce the rocks away from the form boards. And that's the thing we've got to be... I don't like what... You can have these conversations. I don't like what looks like is developing here. I'm afraid there's going to be a pocket in their character, and we need to tap on that over there a little bit. Might be even literally you need to tap on it. We want to shape and reinforcement that'll make them strong for the rest of their life. You know, a poor concrete job can dictate how well the building stands. And a poor concrete job in upbringing can be a hiccup for the rest of a person's life. I'm thankful for the form that my parents run me into, because it's helped me to build something on that. If I'd had a different concrete contractor, if you want to think of it like that, if my parents had not been so intent on finishing the concrete, I'd be a different person today. But because they had a purpose, because they worked together, they didn't have maybe the same specialty area. I've told this before. My mother disciplined me for misbehavior. You don't know how many times I got in trouble. My brother and I got in trouble because we weren't treating each other right. And for some reason, that was important to my mother. It probably is important to all mothers. But my dad come along, and he seemed to address misbehavior in a different way. He felt like the best thing for us to do was learn how to apply ourselves with work. And if I didn't meet his expectations, he disciplined me for that. And I don't remember him ever, he may have, probably did, it just wasn't a standout. He'd probably disciplined me for misbehavior, but what I remember is when he delegated a job for me and I missed the mark. He told me something that needed to be done by the time he got home from work or by the end of the day on Saturday or what. And when I missed the mark, I knew Dad was disappointed. And there was something coming that I didn't enjoy. There was some kind of discipline measure. But those two work together to make me who I am today. And they finished the concrete. And it, you know, it's hard for me to see someone mistreat somebody else today, because I was raised in a, pushed into a form, if you will, by my parents. I was carefully shaped and finished. That's not acceptable. And it's just as equally, I don't understand when someone will not apply themselves to do everything that their hand finds to do. That's like, that don't tabulate in my head. And it's because I was poured into a form and finished from that perspective. This is how you do it. This is the right way to do it. This is the form that I got. And I want the Lord to help me, because not everybody had that experience. Not everybody had parents like I had. Sometimes when I'm working with other people, I got to realize they didn't have the background that I have. And I want to be merciful, and I want I want to be strong enough to help somebody else repair the foundation. If I'm not mistaken, the Washington Monument was built before concrete. I'm really going on some sketchy background that I looked up a long time ago. But I believe the Washington Monument was built. You know, that's a tall thing, and it's heavy. And it got to settling, and after concrete was really perfected, they went in there and jacked and lifted and poured concrete underneath the Washington Monument to stabilize that. Y'all check me out and see if I'm right on that. And you know, when we come, this is not necessarily on target with the message this afternoon, but when we come to service, we're in foundation repair around here. And if you got some, if there's somebody that comes to service that's had, didn't have the same form, that didn't have the same parenting past that I had or somebody else had, and there's some foundation damage. Maybe time and chance has happened. Maybe there's been an earthquake in your life, and maybe there's been some kind of erosion that's caused the soil or the land below to be washed out. But the church ought to be something that's in business for foundation repair. We want to stabilize that. I got a tree in my front yard right now. It's not because of the wind. I think it's something going on in the soil, but I'm not sure what's happening. I got a tree in my front yard that's leaning to the south. In the last couple years, it's been a little bit more. I don't know if it's going to fall over or not, but it's starting to lean. And I think there's something below that's causing the problem. And we can come to service and we can look on and see some straight, strong-looking character or personality, and you say, well, I'll never be like that. I'm going to tell you, that's the devil, and the church and God is in the business of foundation repair, and He can stabilize you and cause you to be strengthened in a manner that you'll be able to glorify the Lord because you have a foundation that's repaired and is strong. I'd like to go to Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and notice another verse here, going back on track with our other thought about children being like concrete. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. It says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." I know there's lots of different philosophies in the world, but I just want to encourage you young parents, mothers and fathers, to not feel that you are mean because you are shaping their character. There are times when concrete is shaped after a form board is taken off. There's times that you catch it just at the right stage and you can take the form board off and you can begin to shape that concrete and make a slope and make a design in it or something like that. And the form board is off. And, you know, I told you about a piece of concrete I poured, and it took over 12 hours for it to really start setting up. And you probably got about 18 years before your concrete's going to get fully cured. Maybe longer than that. Might be 21, might be 25. You got a number of years. Don't be afraid to give guidance. Don't be afraid. Looks like you can take the form board off and maybe do a little repair, a little shaping, a little fine-tuning of the character, of the nature. Why are you doing all of this? You know, it's not in man to direct his own path. Not in children either, by the way. That's why I give you parents. And the parents are there to shape them and to guide them. Oh, I said I was poured into a form, pressed into a form. Well, it's the best form my parents had. They did the best they knew how. They had a purpose for me and for my brother. And you should have a purpose too. You shouldn't want your children to grow up to be mean as snakes like my neighbor was. You want your children to grow up to be honorable, respectful. You want them to be somebody that others would say, I wish you'd run for city council. Wouldn't it be nice to have a mayor like you? Or why don't you run for president? I don't know. That'd be a pretty scary proposition. But we ought to have an objective to train their character. Teach them what's right, what's wrong, what's moral, what's immoral. Proverbs, same chapter, let's skip down a few verses, 17. It says, correct thy son, and he will give thee rest. Yea, he will give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. If you don't have a vision of raising adults, I'd like to ask you to change your vision. Or check your vision, because that's what you're raising. These little children will be adults almost before you know it. It says, correct thy son, and he'll give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Last Wednesday, one of my neighbors that happened to come behind me as I was coming home, and I'd stopped to check on something that I thought was mischief going on down in the creek. People that I didn't know, they were down in the water and driving their truck down the middle of the creek. And anyway, that's a whole other story, but he stopped, and so I stopped and asked him, what do you think we ought to do? Or anyway, we talked about it a little bit, and he said, I've wanted my children to be respectable adults or something to that effect. And I said, I do too. I said, I'm thankful that my children are able to manage their own affairs and take care of their own homes. And, you know, that's what you want them to do. I love it when my children come to the house and bring their children. And there's a lot of racket going on. I like that. But I'm glad they don't live with me. Because if they live with me, it'd mean I didn't do my job right. It'd mean they didn't have a foundation. It'd mean they couldn't build their own house. It means that they couldn't paddle their own boat. I don't know. Whatever expression you want to use, if they were living with me, it means that I didn't equip them the right way. So I just want us to reconsider. You got some concrete on your hands. I don't know how pliable, I know how pliable it is right now. You can turn them into about anything you want to turn them into right now. You can make them, you can make them mean, or you can make them nice. You can make them pleasant, or you can make them difficult. You can make them respectful, or you can make them to where they want to kick the shins of every old person that ever was. You can make them where they'll talk pleasant, or you can teach them how to curse. You can teach them how to love your spouse, or you can teach them how to be disrespectful. You can teach them how to love the Lord, or you can teach them how to look on going to church with suspicion. You can teach them how to be a responsible person and learn how to apologize and learn how to rise above their difficulties, or you can teach them how to point their finger and say everything is always somebody else's fault. You can teach them, you can shape them however you want to. But the concrete's going to start setting up. It's going to start setting up. And when I saw the rabbit tracks, I thought, boy, I'm going to be hard-pressed to work those out. I did, but it was almost miraculous to be able to do it. You know, when you got somebody that's about ready to leave the nest and you see some rabbit tracks, it's going to be hard to work it out of their system. Do it while they're young. Keep your eye on it. There are going to be some times that you feel like you've been up. I've been with it for 17 years. Well, keep your eye on it. It's not set up yet. Keep it. Keep your forms up. Finish it with care and love. And it'll be something that you can look back on and say, at least I know they got a solid foundation. And I believe the next generation will have something that they can build on that'll bring glory to God. You pray for me.